702.
Weekend Breakfast with Refilwe Mpakanyane.
Live, online,
smartphones,
DSTV channel 856,
92.7 and 106 FM.
It's 6:40 on the Saturday edition of Weekend Breakfast. Welcome to the program if you have just tuned in. But of course, if you've been with us since 6 o'clock, thank you so much for choosing 702 to kickstart your weekend. So this morning in our conversation with our resident GP and of course the CEO of Proactive Health Solutions, Dr. Fundile Nyathi, we carry on a conversation that began last Saturday around diabetes. Of course, we were talking about the fact that the 14th of November is World Diabetes Day. So a day that is dedicated towards educating people around diabetes, its symptoms, its treatment, and of course its complications. We'll do a quick roundup of that conversation, but of course most importantly, what we were talking about last week was the fact that, the complications, the complications that can arise when one does not stick to treatment around diabetes. So let's just do a quick recap with Dr. Nyathi and address all the questions, the many questions that we received as a result of our conversation, which made it necessary for us to carry on the conversation this week because so many of you just needed some information, some advice, as well as perhaps a second opinion. So on that note, Dr. Fundile Nyathi, good morning. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast. As per usual, it's a pleasure to have you on.
Good morning, Refilwe, and good morning to the 702 listeners.
Dr. Nyathi, just very, very quickly, for those that, perhaps need a refresher, diabetes, the symptoms of it, what is it? Give us a sense of what people should be looking out for, and then we'll get into the questions once again.
All right. Okay, so thank you for that question. So basically, diabetes, we've already said that it's a chronic disease. That affects, how your body utilizes blood glucose or what you call blood sugar. And obviously, it could be as a result of the fact that your body does not produce insulin, which we call it type 1, or it could be as a result that you actually do produce insulin, but it doesn't work the way it's expected to, which is normally called type 2, used to be called adult onset.
Okay.
And the symptoms thereof, we normally talk of 3 P's. So polyuria, that is you pass a lot of urine. Polyphagia, you get hungry very, frequently. And polydipsia, which is you frequently thirsty. So those 3 P's are normally the key symptoms that we always look at, normally going together. But there could be other symptoms that are related to the complications, of diabetes, which, for example, is repeated, infections like skin infections or taking long from recovery from minor infections because, it does cause a weakening of the immune system, which then predisposes one to repeated infections. It can also cause a fatigue. So you just generally are fatigued, you're not sure why you like that. So that's some of the symptoms that are common, but in general, it is very important that all of us, at least once a year, we check ourselves for diabetes because not everybody will present with this kind of symptom. Mm.
And treatment looks like what? We've got Mariah and Faisal on the line that we'll get to the phone lines very, very shortly. But what does treatment look like? Because, of course, we are addressing the fact that, if one doesn't stick to your treatment regimen, the complications can arise.
Right. So, obviously, the biggest problem, in diabetes is the fact that your blood glucose is out of control. It's beyond what is seen to be normal. And so the goal of treating somebody with diabetes is to get the blood glucose levels, to within what is called, what is referred to as normal. So the treatment, depending on the type of diabetes that you have, if you've got type 1, which is where there is deficiency or minimal production of insulin, obviously the treatment there will be you getting insulin injections, you know, and the frequency of those and the type of insulin that you are given depends on the doctor who, you know, is evaluating you, because there are those that work short term, there are those that work long term, let's say once a day, and there are combinations there. But exact, you know, insulin, you know, regimen you are, that you are going to use depends on what your treating doctor has decided. All right, so that is for type 1. It's basically insulin replacement through injection. Type 2, which is the one that affects at least 95% of people with diabetes, it's normally a diabetes that starts in adulthood. It used to be called adult onset diabetes mellitus. However, nowadays, even kids and adolescents do present with that. So with that one, the problem is not insulin per se. You know, the problem there is that once you are producing the insulin, but it is not effective in getting glucose into the cells of the body. And so for that, you know, the starting point for type 2 diabetes, and I need to emphasize this, is actually lifestyle modification. Specifically, you know, dietary management prescribed, you know, by a dietitian. You know, number two, you know, prescribed exercise. So, you know, so that's where we start, exercise and diet as a starting point. And if those two, you know, do not reduce the blood sugar, then you go into oral tablets. That is tablets that actually reduce, you know, the blood glucose levels in the body through different ways of working. When I was still a student, there were just two types of those kind of tablets. You know, sulfonylureas and what you call biguanide.
Sure.
But nowadays there's actually newer types of drugs. But I'm not going to go into detail with that. But the point is, oral medication, one tablet or in combination, as decided by your doctor. And if that doesn't work, then insulin comes in as the last thing to be added to all of the things I've just mentioned.
Sure.
So that's really treatment, insulin injection for type 1, and then for type 2, tablets, exercise, diet, and insulin as a last resort.
All right. We've got Mariah on the line calling from Joburg. Mariah, thank you so much for holding. What is your question for Dr. Nyathi? Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Dr. Nyathi.
Good morning.
So I've got a problem. I'm diabetic, type 2 diabetic. I'm on Gerlamet and Dietosalt. But now lately I've been getting a pain just under the knee. My knee is giving problems nowadays. But just under the knee, I get that pain like, you know, after you've had that cramp at the back of your leg, that cramp stays there and my leg becomes so numb. But when I prick on it, because I try to prick, it I can feel something. So I'm just worried about that if it's not caused by diabetes.
All right. So obviously, without knowing everything about your health condition in total, but I think what's important that is what is normally called complications. There are what we refer to as microvascular complications. Now, diabetes, when the blood glucose is not under proper control, over time it affects the capillaries and, you know, the small, you know, capillaries that bring fresh blood to the various tissues of the body. And these microvascular, you know, or capillary complications can affect the kidneys, can affect the eyes, and the nerves. Now, the nerves are very sensitive to not getting oxygen. So in your situation, it is very likely that this is the beginning of what we refer to as peripheral neuropathy, you know, whereby the nerves in the periphery going down to the legs are not getting enough oxygen because there's some blockage in the capillaries. And that is starting to then show through pins and needles, numbness. Sometimes there may even be worsening, you know, of pain hyperesthesia, mm-hmm. Below the limbs. So it would be very important that you talk to your treating doctor, who may then have to do additional tests to look at, ruling out peripheral neuropathy. They may even have to, look at different medication to give you to try and improve blood supply to those areas that may be affected.
Very quickly, Dr. Nyati, when we are dealing or addressing peripheral neuropathy, how successful is, that kind of treatment that you've just spoken about in addressing or rather dealing with or increasing blood supply to the peripherals?
Yeah. Well, because this damage to these capillaries, develops over a period of time, mm-hmm. By the time you actually experience those abnormal sensations, it's usually quite advanced. So the treatment is not always, successful, but it is still worth a try. There are certain drugs that are actually, we call them peripheral vasodilators that can actually try to improve, as the blood supply. But, they are not always successful because by the time you start using them, sure. The damage is already done.
Okay. All right. But of course, what's at stake is losing limbs, fingers, etc. So you need to try
Indeed.
It. Yeah, absolutely. Indeed. Let's take a listen to this voice note that's just come through, Dr. Nyati. Please listen.
Hi, doctor, and hi, Philwe. My name is Mohammed from Rustenburg. I'm 48 years old. I have diabetes for 7 years now. I just wanted to find out from the doctor that now recently I've been experiencing quite a bit of low energy levels, and my libido also is quite low. Can doctor advise us what to do, or can you advise of any medication I'm taking? At the moment, I'm taking 1,000 milligram metformin. But I feel during the evening my energy levels is extremely low. Even my libido is quite low.
Yeah.
Asking the doctor if he can mm-hmm. advise as what to do. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Your thoughts, Dr. Nyati?
All right. So, 48-year-old gentleman who has been non-diabetic for at least about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
He is on oral tablets, and the one that he's using is metformin. 1,000 milligrams, which is really the starting, there are protocols when you talk about treatment of diabetes. So in type 2 diabetes, metformin is usually the first line drug that is used to try and reduce, insulin.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, to try and reduce blood glucose. So in his case, he's complaining that he's generally weak. Like all tablets, there are side effects to some of these drugs. So metformin has a side effect, a long-term side effect of what we call a reduced vitamin B12 in the body,
okay.
Which may lead to anemia. So it is important that he goes to his treating doctor to see, whether he's anemic and whether he's got vitamin B12 deficiency, because then that can be addressed, specifically by giving him supplements. But the issue of low libido, it would have been nice to talk to him directly. But, what is known about diabetes is that one of the complications, especially amongst men, is that there is reduced higher prevalence of erectile dysfunction, because again, the damage to the, small blood vessels that supply the penis, that will ensure engorgement of the penis for erection. When there is damage to those, it's usually an early sign of a macrovascular,
sure.
Type of complication. So,
Dr. Nyati, we do in fact have Faisal on the line. So we played his voice note, and then he actually is on the line for any follow ups. What do you want to ask him in that regard?
No, okay. So what I wanted to know from Faisal is when you say it's got reduced libido, is it about reduced desire or actually, inability to maintain a strong erection?
I think both. Hi, morning, doctor. Yeah.
Morning.
Morning.
You can say both.
All right. See, so I think obviously he was talking about general weakness or just feeling tired all the time. It's important that you check, that the doctor checks if the sugar is well controlled. And that 3-month test called HbA1c will give a good guide in terms of whether, you know, his diabetes is really well controlled. But number two, you know, specifically now, the issue of the vitamin B12 needs to be checked. And number three, if the problem is actually about the weak erections, or, you know, can't maintain for long erections, then that may need actually him to be seen by a urologist, who are specialists, you know, when it comes to those kind of issues.
Okay, so ultimately there are some options, there is help at hand, and there's some, hopefully there's definitely something that can be done.
Indeed.
Okay,
indeed.
Fantastic stuff. Any follow-ups to the doctor's recommendations?
Zachary, thank you so much.
All right, thanks. All the best. We really wish you the best in finding a solution to your problems. Dr. Nyati, there's a question here from Johnny coming through saying, please give us advice on the intro of new human insulin as opposed to previous animal-based insulin for a long history. Does that make sense to you?
Well, I think I touched on it last week.
Yeah.
Last year we were celebrating 100 years of the discovery of human insulin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whose patent was given for free to manufacturers to produce insulin. But obviously, it's a different story now. It is now a for-profit kind of situation with only three companies dominating the market, about 80 to 90%.
Yeah.
Now, for the last 100 years, human insulin, but in the last few years, there's now artificial or synthetic insulin that has come up. The downside of that is that, it tends to be quite costly, that kind of treatment. And so WHO is actually saying, you know, we need to still continue to recommend the use of the human insulin because it's less costly. But in terms of, effectiveness, you know, the synthetics are not, better compared to the, to the human kind of insulin. And in terms of the low to middle income countries, that are the ones that are battling increased prevalence of diabetes. The synthetic insulins are just not so accessible or affordable for the average person. So I think, just looking at issues of access to treatment, which is part of the theme, multi-year theme on diabetes mellitus, I think as a country we still need, to encourage, the availability of human insulin as opposed to the synthetic insulin. But, they are not that much better to human insulin.
Okay. A final one, and we've got about 40 seconds to answer this, Doc.
Yeah.
Can you please advise, can a fatty liver lead to diabetes? How dangerous is this?
Well, fatty liver is normally a complication of chronic, alcoholism. If somebody is like that, then they are likely to have damaged their pancreas as well. And the pancreas is the one that actually produces insulin. So a person with a fatty liver, definitely I would want that person to be seen by a specialist physician and have a total workout in terms of the functionality of their pancreas and the liver. It is important that kind of person be under specialist care.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Nyati. Really appreciate you bringing back this conversation this week and just helping us answer all those questions and concerns for our listeners. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, and all the best for the rest of the show.
All right. Dr. Fundile Nyati is, of course, our resident GP as well as the CEO of Proactive Health Solutions.